Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Yeah. Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and here on Herb Talk, it's all about the empowerment. That means you being empowered. That's what it's about. Information? You won't get anywhere else, right, Frank? Frank's ready. Thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and some other networks out there. We got a great show. We're going to be talking about pig hearts for organ transplants. Ooh-wee! We're going to talk about that. And we have a quack report, but before we get to all that stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm hitting the knees, and I'm seeking the Lord's face and a mind and a time, because it grows short. Our devotional is Luke 12 today, and it says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Amen to that. I want to go to the kingdom. I want to inherit that. And so the way you do that is you seek the Lord's face, you confess your sins, you repent of your sins, and you stay close to the Lord. He forgives you. See, the blood of the Lamb of God is on you. You will not experience the wrath of God. Huh. Well, that's your out. Take it now. It's much easier now. Yep, mind the time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Did we have a quacker? I didn't hear anything, Frank. Oh, did we do the quacks? Okay. There they are. Yeah, you got to turn up my mic. Okay, first up in the quack report, it says European Union finally admits COVID vaccines. They're not really vaccines, you know that. Destroy your immune system. This is the European Union, according to the European Medicines Agency called the EMA, taking booster doses of the COVID serum vaccine every 4 months, they said, would weaken the immune system and to such a point that people would, quote, tire out. Yep, they're saying that the vaccines destroy the immune system and make people more susceptible, not just to COVID, but to all diseases. But despite this, they're encouraging people to still go get vaccinated and get your boosters, which try to figure that. Last but not least in the quack report, exercise can't compensate for a poor diet, according to a study. That's right. They say exercise alone won't compensate for eating poorly, according to research, University of Sydney, Australia. So if you spend all day and night in the gym or running laps, you're still better off steering clear of the fatty, processed, trans fat foods. Researchers conclude that those high levels of physical activity don't counteract the detrimental effects of the diet, increases your mortality risk. So they said that if you have a good diet and you have a good diet and exercise frequently and you stick to that lifestyle, you will have the lowest mortality risk. The team also examined independent and combined effects of diet and physical activity in all causes of cardiovascular disease and cancer risk. A large collection of British adults, over 360,000, participated, and the data was provided by the UK Biobank Project. A large-scale biomedical study is what this was. So for the purposes of the study, researchers defined a high-quality diet as anything including at least 5 portions of fruit and vegetables a day, 2 portions of fish each week, and overall low consumption of red and processed meats. In comparison, those who were either inactive and following a poor diet, people who only exercised, rarely ate unhealthy foods, they had a 17% mortality risk increase and 19% cardiovascular risk increase. Overall. So, Mediterranean diet, common sense, kind of keep it basic and avoid the fast foods, the drive-thrus. Try to steer clear of that packaged stuff. Forget the chip aisle. Just go to nuts, seeds. Those are the best way if you want a snack. And that wraps the quack report. Hey, Craig. Hey, yeah. So if you got the munchies, you're at the desk in the afternoon, it's 3 o'clock. I want to go to the vending machine so bad. It's what you're thinking. Hey, get a handful of nuts because of the mineral rich content and the protein in those nuts. A handful of nuts and your hungers will go away. just a handful of nuts. And it's healthy fat, so it's not going to be bad fat. All right. Let's see. We're going to be talking about this report on pig hearts. Yeah, the new thing for organ transplants, Frank. Yep, the oink oink is what they're using. I reported recently that science was, you know, gearing up for, you know, using pig hearts for human transplants. And I also warned people that due to the genetic modification in breeding pigs, your pigs were more prone to heart problems. So, however, this science research here kind of took the next step into pig heart transplants for humans, stating it was a big success. Well, let's look at these. There were two operations, and they happened in June and July of 2022. This was New York University Langone Health School of Medicine, and they report that they successfully transplanted two genetically engineered pig hearts into two freshly dead human donors. I mean, fresh, right? So if you are asking why, you know, they're using pig hearts, what's wrong with a human heart? Well, the answer they're given is that there is a shortage of donated organs, and they are trying to fill this gap and still perform organ transplant surgeries. So the research team said that it was critical to produce an alternative supply of organs and develop a clinical protocol. So the lack of human hearts being donated, it's down to like 2,000 a year transplants annually in the United States. And do you know how much a heart transplant costs, Frank? Take a guess. You know, spin the wheel of fortune. A lot, he says. $1.4 million. I mean, I hear a hush over the audience like, huh? Yeah, that's a lot of money, isn't it? Right? So in 2019, there was like 4,000 people were on the waiting list, but by 2020, there were over 100,000. So if medical science can transplant pig hearts on demand, there is the potential for trillions of dollars to be made worldwide on this. So what'd you say, Frank? Frank said, yep. That's a lot of money. Yeah, it is. It's astonishing. You know, it's sort of like right up there what they pay, you know, professional athletes. So the question is, you know, how long are these patients going to survive when they get a pig heart? And would the quality of life be there? Do people ask that? I don't know. I'm asking. So this is a new kind of surgery, though. Because, you know, we're not doing a human tissue from one person to another. We got an animal tissue going in a person. So in the New York University, what, Frank? And is there, I'm surprised at you, Frank. Frank, audience, Frank says, do they crave corn? You behave yourself over there. Seriously. All right. I don't want to go there. So the New York University, stop it, Frank. The New York University surgeries have ushered in this new type of surgery, and it's called xenotransplants. Yeah. So what that means is a transplant between a species, human and non-human. So the surgeries were performed on these deceased donors that were maintained by ventilator support. And then the heart function was monitored after the surgery for about 3 days. The study concluded on the third day. So they transplanted these pig hearts into these people, and then they just kind of monitored them post-surgery 3 days. Now, the report states there were no signs of early tissue rejection within the 3 days. But I'm saying to myself, well, is 3 days enough time to confidently state there will be no rejection? Well, here's what the National Library of Medicine says about organ rejection. It says, quote, acute rejection may occur at any time from the first week after the transplant to 3 months afterward. So I hope they're not just going off of 3 days and they're just going to rush this to market and, you know, everybody lines up for pig hearts and then what? Now, apparently, according to Medline Plus, there are 3 types of organ transplant rejection. Now, I'm concluding this would be human-to-human tissue, right? Since the animal-to-human tissue is kind of a new deal. So they say hyperacute rejection occurs a few minutes after a transplant when the antigens are completely unmatched. The tissue must be removed right away so the recipient does not die. This type of rejection is seen often when a recipient is given the wrong type of blood. Yeah, I've worked at a hospital when that happened. Oh, my word. Talk about panic. Let's see, so... acute rejection, the next one says, may occur any time from the first week after the transplant to 3 months afterward. All recipients have some amount of acute rejection. The third type is chronic rejection. It can take place over many years. The body's constant immune system against the new organ slowly damages the transplanted tissue over time. Interesting. So that's why you got to take those anti-rejection drugs. You know, $100,000 a year for that, I believe. Who pays for that? Well, the dead donors were taken off their ventilators for the first 3 days post-surgery. They were given organ rejection drugs. They weren't given any other mechanical support. And because it is an animal heart that they transplanted into a human body, they had to watch for what is called viral infections coming from the animal tissue. These infections are called RNA and DNA infections like porcine psychomegaloviruses or exogenous retroviruses. And what I thought was really interesting, though, is that the operating room that they used for these two surgeries, they had to take it offline, and now it can only be used for future xenotransplants, you know, animal-human transplants. Isn't that interesting? Why can't they just scrub that down, use it for any surgery? Very interesting. So let's look at these hearts they used, right? The piggy-wiggy hearts. So the pig hearts that they used were supposedly genetically altered. Okay. They modified them with 10 modifications. They listed 4 porcine gene edits to, they said, to help prevent organ rejection. They call this kind of genetic alteration a gene knockout. And then they did what was called a gene knock-in, where they inserted 6 human transgenes to assist with gene expression of these proteins that regulate a lot of biological functions that would normally be disrupted due to it's an animal organ inside a human body. So all the other operational standards, they say, were carried out just like normal. If you had a normal human-to-human organ transplant, everything else was normal. This is not normal. So, here's a quote from Dr. Mozami at New York University Langone Transplant Institute. He said, our goal is to integrate the practices used in a typical everyday heart transplant only without non-human organs that will function normally without additional aid from untested devices or medicines. So they're taking their human-to-human organ transplant protocols, modifying it a little bit for the trans-species organ transplant situation. But I think they have another goal. What do you think that goal is, Frank? I know you know. Well, as we hear how modern medicine is crossing more of these boundaries, we are told, you know, it's for the betterment of mankind. That's what we're being told. So in this instance, medicine would not have looked at using animal hearts if there were not a shortage of donor human hearts. Yep. So what is really pushing this forward is the loss of revenue from the normal transplants. That's right. Here is a quote. This is Dr. Leon Petcher, chair of the Department of Surgery at New York University. He says, our greater purpose is to address the organ shortage and provide another option for the more than 100,000 people nationwide waiting on the transplant list. So there you have it. It's all about money. Now, the same institution has also get this transplanted pig kidney, so they'll get around to all these parts eventually. So the engineered animal organs were engineered by ReveraCorps Incorporated, who also funded these studies. Mm-hmm. Now, get this. In 2011, the list and cost of organ transplants to on demand were bone marrow transplants. This is 2011 now. Cost $360,000 to $800,000. Much more today. I don't suppose they're going to use pig, you know, bone marrow, do you? I don't think so. How about cornea transplants? $25,000. Heart, $1 million. This was in 2011. Now it's 1.4 million. Intestine transplant, 1.2 million. Kidney, 263. The new organ apparently would work about 80 to 90%, not 100%. Liver, 577,000. Lung, 550,000. If you get both lungs done, it's a deal at 800,000 apparently. Pancreas, 290,000, and any multi-organ transplant, 1.7 million and up. I wonder if they don't give you a deal if it's not a non-human part. I would think that would be bottom basement, you know, discounted kind of organ thing. I mean, I look at it that way anyway. I wouldn't want a pig anything inside me, but I'm just saying. It's not primo tissue, is it? It's kind of lower on the food chain, isn't it? What about other costs? People don't think about other costs. So besides the hospital bill, there's going to be bills from your surgeon, your consult doctors, your anesthesiologist, your lab tests, your food, your lodging for, let's say, family members when you go into the hospital. 6 or more months of physical therapy will be added to the treatment plan. Then there's going to be the ongoing medications. So you get $3,000 drug bill at the time of having your transplant. Transplant patients are also put on 4 immunosuppressant drugs called Cellcept, Prograf, Myfortic, and Prednisone. This is to keep your body from rejecting the organ. And depending on your pharmacy and the drug dose that you're put on, it can cost $1,000 per prescription. Cellcept is over $1,000. Prograf is over $1,000, $1,300. Prednisone is $12 a month, not too bad. And Myofortic is $800 a month. So add that up by the month, then you're probably looking at 6 figures for the year. And by the way, a lot of patients, you know, discover is that their health care coverage from a public insurer may no longer cover transplant surgeries because the funds to pay for those that go through these procedures could be used to cover more people that aren't as catastrophically ill. And many of the insurers deny transplant coverage, citing that the treatments are experimental or investigational, which transplants are falling under experimental categories according to health insurance providers. So, and that would be, you know, your pancreas, your lung, and a combination organ transplant like heart and lung would be in that category. And just think about how the insurance companies will react to organs grown in the lab with stem cells, or maybe from, you know, an interspecies transplant. Can you imagine? So the healthcare providers, their decisions are based on cost, not benefit, They cite transplant treatments are being inefficient. Medical insurance providers are also known that they project cost and procedures most likely are unsustainable. And it's limited to, you're limited, very much limited on reimbursements. They're very low. So to address a lot of these problems from healthcare providers, they've gone ahead to establish a designated center for organ transplants in these facilities in order to qualify for, to minimize costs for the provider. They're known as cost-effective transplantation. How that affects the level of care and the success rate as you recover, well, that's anybody's guess. So in situations like this, the patient has little choice but to use the designated hospital chosen by their insurance company if they're going to get accepted and it's going to be approved. And you have to ask qualified designated centers, which is based on insurance industry's criteria, not medical science. So it most certainly will have a dramatic effect on a success of care. And unfortunately, a lot of patients find themselves in the hands of what amounts to medical social workers and financial coordinators to lead them through this maze of unaffordable organ transplant treatment. Personally, I want to keep my original equipment, thanks. And you know what? There's things you can do to protect your original equipment to keep it running smoothly. The thing that really kills organs, and other than your genetic problem, it would be neglect. People fail to realize that they can give their organs a tune-up, purge a lot of waste material that creates disease and malfunction. So eat healthy food, get your regular exercise, don't abuse alcohol, tobacco, or drugs, which can, you know, invite disease. And you can preserve your organs much longer. System organ cleansing can go a long way at extending the health and function of your entire body. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Ask about their organ cleansing formulas. They have immune-boosting support as well. And don't forget to check out their heart-strengthening formulas and their heart attack packs and get their free catalog. Their contact number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Web address, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com, and be empowered. You know, cleanse and nourish. It's a simple concept. It's an organic one, you know, and we're organic beings, right? We are. So go with the organic way instead of the chemical evasive surgery way. Man, I mean, if you had been in my shoes and you saw that, well, I was in intensive care working, you should have seen all these people, you know, coming in from open heart surgeries and all these things. Oh, I looked at it as torture, to be honest, you know. So do the right thing up front and you can sidestep a lot of that problem. ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. I can see by the clock we're going to take a little break, but when we come back, more health news. We'll be right back.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And then good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today, or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask, robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free, 866-229-3663, or international callers, 704-875-8010. That's toll free, 866-229-3663, or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
Bouncy music. Thanks, Frank. We're back, and we're going to talk about, well, we were just talking about organ transplants. We're going to talk about how we can help your bladder, if you have bladder dysfunction or if you have constipation issues. We're going to talk about that. They're not as serious as heart attacks and organ transplants, but you don't want to get to a serious part. That's it. You want to deal with these things when they're much easier to deal with. So, alarming increase, though, in cases of bladder dysfunction and even constipation just in the United States. No, it's global. It's a global problem. So, you know it's a global problem. The media has put attention on international societies saying that from the 1960s, these problems have grown, these issues people really didn't talk a lot about these personal issues back in the 60s, but they talk about it freely now. I mean, you can't shut people up on social media. They reveal everything. So scientific medicine is saying there is prevalence for these types of conditions to the point that you can get a lot of dysfunction. It's very expected, and it becomes pretty much an acceptable aspect of life now as people get older. But like I've been saying, it's common, but is it normal? No, not really. So let's talk about the bladder problems. This is U.S. National Library of Medicine and Institute of Health. They say bladder problems fall under the expertise of the urology department. It's well known that bladder dysfunction can cause a lot of social distress and even financial stress. So the types of dysfunction can vary according to severity. About 1 in 20 people, that's 13 million Americans, have what is called incontinence. $11 billion is spent annually on this condition alone. Men and women can experience bladder problems, and women most often see the urologist at the peak of menopause, typically. Now, for women, the prevalence of moderate bladder problems for even younger women range from 3 to 17%, and if the condition is more severe, usually in older women, that approach the age of around 60. Men have an overall lower risk of incontinence compared to women, with a lot of statistics at 3 and 11% range for the men. Men, if they have severe bladder issues, they usually occur around the age of 80. So when it comes to bladder problems and severity, it can range from what is described as small leakage to a complete emptying of the bladder. So stress seems to factor in, especially for men and women, with regard to the incontinence issue. And women tend to have spikes in episodes of incontinence, whereas men, it tends to be more of a steady issue and a steady increase issue. So let's look at the incontinence chart. It's been based on 11 studies. The low percentage of 10%, typically incontinence will happen in people even 15 to 19 years of age, but it's very low, 10% of the population. Moderate range is 18% at ages 20 to 24, and then severe is 17% and more and above. Women usually starting at 60, and men at the age of 70 to 80. So you have those ranges, and I think a lot of it can be with the younger middle-aged folks. You know, kids, you know, they don't like to use the public restrooms at schools, and so they'll hold their urine in too long, and this can increase, you know, a lot of acids and infection, and it can just predispose you to problems down the road. And then there's some of the middle-aged folks that, especially in Japan, Frank, in Japan, that population is very crazy. They don't like to stop and use the restroom out in public, so they just wear diapers. Yeah. They don't want to take the time to go pee. So they'll just, you know, pee in diapers. So, I mean, Japan is by far, globally, the number one country that goes through disposable diapers for infants and adults. But adult diapers out, the numbers outdo the baby diapers, which I think is crazy. So, I imagine the guys on Wall Street. Or what about surgeons and surgery, long surgeries? You can't, like, just say, I got to go pee, and you leave the patient there. So I'm thinking there's a lot of people that use the diapers. and is there such a thing as gender incontinence? Well, conditions that can bring about or worsen incontinence in men are prostate surgery issues, neurological injury like stroke or trauma. Now, the Cochrane Scientific or Systematic Review reported July 2015 that with female stress-induced incontinence for women, they need to make an informed decision before they have any surgery. The review stressed abdominal exercise may be a better option rather than bladder surgery and can offer less than bladder surgery can offer less than optimal results, and they may need to have it repeated. So definitely do your homework there. Here's a quote from the Cochrane Review. They said, over the last few years, many questions have been raised about the safety of incontinence surgery due to implants like artificial mesh. And there have been a number of reports of women suffering pain and injury after surgery due to devices used of non-absorbable plastics. And this has resulted in worldwide court actions and in some countries suspending the practice altogether, end of quote. Yeah, I don't think you want any artificial anything put in you. Let's see, this is the Dr. Abigail Ford Bradford Teaching Hospital, who says women need to be aware of less invasive alternatives before they contemplate any type of surgery. So it is kind of obvious that there really is not been any long-term trials that are done on a lot of these devices they surgically implant in people for things like incontinence. One physician said this, and, you know, folks, if I can find this information, you can too. They say, we need to know more about what happens to women in the long run. This review found 35 trials carried out more than 5 years ago. If the women in these trials were followed up with, we would know much more about how long the operations last and any critically important information on side effects. Dr. Joseph Gosch, a gynecologist. Yeah. Well, he's right. A lot of this stuff, they don't do long-term, you know, follow-up. I mean, look at what we just looked at, the pig hearts, 3 days. They just assessed the patients. Well, they were dead already, but they just assessed them for 3 days. Well, what could be the causes for incontinence? There are several reasons why we develop incontinence. You can have a lot of stress, especially in the pelvic area. You can be on the overweight side. Childbirth can stress those ligaments and stuff, and really. The bladder wall could be affected. UTIs, urinary tract infections, if you get frequent ones, that could be involving. Diseases like cancer or nervous systems like Parkinson's, MS, stroke, diabetes, bowel congestion, kidney or bladder stones, prostate infection or surgeries, cancer treatments with radiation, and alcoholism all can play a part here. So stress incontinence in women is very common, especially if they've had children, and the pelvic floor takes a lot of pressure in childbirth, and then coughing, sneezing, lifting something heavy can cause what they call leakage, okay? And smoking makes stress incontinence far worse, especially because you do a lot of coughing. So, you could look at, investigate pelvic floor exercises like that doctor was saying, and I think a lot of yoga instructors know how to teach those things. But you probably can pick up books or videos on how to do it. Let's look at the constipation topic. Constipation in the United States, serious problem. And you know, because they sell a lot of, you know, over-the-counter constipation aids. So it's estimated about 4 million Americans, that's 1 in 61 people, suffer from constipation, which is directly linked to diet. So constipation sends 2 million people to the hospital each year. It's so common, but it's really not normal to use laxative to move the bowel. Sometimes, yes, but not on a very common basis. That's something's wrong. But unfortunately, laxatives, if used regularly too often, they offer a risk of the bowel becoming so dependent on them, it won't move on its own. So the elderly tend to suffer from constipation, and they're often put on these drugs. Well, they're on a lot of drugs after the age of 65, but sometimes a lot of them are pain relievers. Pain blocks nerve signals, and it can put to sleep the nerve endings of the bowel muscle wall. And then the bowel's not moving fecal matter down through it, and so they're constipated. So having sluggish bowels, experience the constipation more than just occasionally is really a sign of imbalance that increases the risk of your disease. Sorry, Frank, my phone was distracting. Sorry, I forgot to turn it off. All right, so we want to watch the over-the-counter laxatives. We want to maybe use instead a more natural way to move the colon. Yeah, prune juice and flaxseed don't work. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a bowel formula A that'll do it. So having sluggish bowels and experiencing constipation more than occasionally is an imbalance, and it increases the risk of disease. If constipation is left unresolved, it will lead to serious health risks. Now, about 30 people a year can die from this condition alone. So in 2016, Yale University reported that they had discovered the cause of constipation that, according to... Sorry, my phone is just blowing up. Sorry. But the Yale University research said that according to their studies, constipation, there's really no clear cause, they said, and they blamed it on things like other infections. I don't agree with that. Like I said, even appendicitis is really a piece of fecal matter that's kind of stuck, and it's blocking the opening of the appendix gland, and it can't secrete its solution, so it gets inflamed. So, so constipation can cause things like that. According to the Yale University study, they discovered that they think it's more of an infection that causes constipation. They did get published in the journals of Cell, Host, and Microbe. They claimed that a virus can spread in the spinal cord area, and then to the genitals, and then to your colon, and then to the nerve endings, and then to the bowel. Well, I'm not saying that can't happen, but that can't be the case for all cases of constipation. Usually constipation clears up with things like diet change. So their findings, they said if it isn't junk science, they're saying that people who have contracted, let's say, chickenpox or an Epstein-Barr virus or other types of viruses from the herpes families, that's the reason for the constipation issue. So if that were the case, the constipation rate would be worse than it is. Causes for your constipation, let's look at them. Basic ones. These are common sense ones. Low-fiber diet. And people that are eating too much protein and not getting enough fiber, if they got a lot of mucus foods that they're using, a lot of refined wheat and cow's milk, if they're on pain narcotics, like I mentioned, which the medications can block the action of the nerve endings in the colon wall, lack of exercise, you know, the bowel is counting on us to move. So if you're not getting regular exercise, you ever see a dog, Frank, has to go to the bathroom? A lot of times they'll run up and down out in the yard and to move their bowel. It's very common. You got to have exercise. Antacids can also give you constipation. Blood pressure medicines can. Antihistamines, cold medications, decongestants, calcium and iron supplements can also do that, as well as rotavirus vaccines. So there's lots of things that can cause constipation, but I would say the big category overall is what you're putting in the body. You know, we just drug therapy or food groups, typically that's what I see over the last 20 years. And if people just, you know, watch what they're putting in the system. Now, some of the foods that will slow down a bowel are chocolate, bananas, and cooked carrots. Okay, so that's what they did in some of these poor countries. If you had dysentery or loose stool, they'd serve you bananas and cooked carrots, and that would firm up the stool. So watch what you're putting in, because a lot of that can interfere with your whole digestive tract. So if you're looking at cleansing the colon and getting things in a balance, then I would call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and ask for their bowel cleanse kit. Their bowel cleanse kit, very affordable, and it'll remove radioactive particles, heavy metals, pharmaceutical drug residues, and a whole lot of stuff you don't want to keep. But it will also tone that bowel muscle, and so that you're not constipated, so it'll move on its own without assistance. So there's a way to do it. You probably didn't know how to, but there are tools that you can use to jumpstart your path. So if you're doing a cleanse, make sure you're transitioning off some of the foods that constipate you. Sometimes you're allergic to your diet, and it's slowing down the bowel and constipating you. So when I was growing up, Frank, my mom was reading those Adele Davis books, you know, the prevention magazines, stuff like that. So they were on the synthetic vitamin thing. And even your synthetic vitamins can constipate you. You just got to be careful. But I was allergic to milk as a kid, but nobody knew it. So allergy to a food can constipate you. And with a food allergy to milk, which is mucusy to the, I'm talking cheese, ice cream, pudding, yogurts, all that cow's milk stuff. And it's very mucusy, and it slows things down. And all of a sudden, you know, you plug up your muffler. And so food allergies can do it. So if you're not sure what you're allergic to, keep a food journal. If you suspect it's a food, go off of it for 2 weeks. It'll take 2 weeks for that food protein to come out of your system. Then you can reintroduce it into the diet just to check. And if your condition flares back up, then you know your body doesn't like that food. And you're going to be fighting it if you continue to consume it. It's just better just to get rid of it. Your body knows better than we do. Your body knows. Plus all the stuff they put in a lot of these foods like cow's milk today is, well, if it was on your plate, you wouldn't eat it. They just add it to cow's milk. All right, so we got a few minutes, and we're going to shift gears here, and we're going to talk a little bit about plant proteins, because I was talking to someone the other day that said, you know, I want to drop some weight, and they wanted to know about the chlorella and spirulina that I talked about here on the show. So NASA used those for the astronauts to give them protein, just a different type of protein when they were floating around the atmosphere there. So it's a single cell algae, what it is, and it's got lots of protein. It's equivalent to a steak. So a lot of people have utilized this food source. So they can, you know, not feel hungry and drop a few pounds and manage their weight better. So there's a lot of plants out there that have a lot of protein. This is a Haling Jin, professor of microbiology, plant pathology, University of California, who says, if the plant protein association with the RNA were to remain at such high levels after normal conditions are applied, it would be detrimental to plant growth. So he's talking about the agriculture industry gene editing plants, changing their chemistry. And he's saying, well, you're messing with the protein level. See, God had a chemistry, a natural science that was perfect. And so a lot of these scientists are saying, don't do that. Because our bodies aren't going to be used to that, and we're going to have health problems. So gene expression in your plant sources can also influence your DNA gene expression. So plant power in its whole food state, not unaltered, is what I look for and what I use. Medical science is looking for ways to exploit the genes in a lot of these plants, including medicinal herbs. But you have the power now to get some unadulterated forms. Heirloom seeds, grow your own stuff. My daughter, Frank, just came back from Alaska. She had a photography trip. She's a photographer. She goes out there. And she said they were in Anchorage and some other parts of Alaska, and they have this thing in these townships out there, you know, because the sun doesn't set much. What is it, 10 p.m., and it's still, like, light out there. So the things, flowers, grow. Your flowers are going to be, like, chest high out there. And so what they do in a lot of these medicinal gardens, you know, it's a community thing where they'll plant, you know, alongside curb appeal and stuff, they'll plant flowers, but they'll also plant vegetables, cabbage, kale, asparagus, all this stuff, because it grows really quickly because it's summer there and they get a lot of light, and they leave it there for the poor. So the poor have something nutritious to eat. Looks good, pretty to look at, and they can just come get all the food they want. I think that's cool. Well, in ancient times, in biblical times, what happened? If you read your Old Testament, they had a God-ordained a way for you to harvest your crop. You left the corners of your fields unharvested. You left the corners for the poor to come pick the corn or whatever. That's what they did in biblical times. See? So you left it. I don't know if you would count it as a tithe unto the Lord. I guess you could, but that's what God ordained for Israel when they harvested their crops. You leave the corners. You don't harvest the corners of your field. You leave those for the poor people to have. So in Alaska, they're kind of doing the same thing in principle. They're making something beautiful, but it's edible, and the poor people can come get it. I think that's very wise, compassionate. So, and hopefully, you know, this information we give you here on the show, you can, you know, pass that on to people, and it can benefit them. So it's about, you know, helping one another and benefiting one another. So I just know that a lot of internal medicine dysfunction is from a lack of nutrition, especially minerals. So once we get some balanced food, whole food minerals and vitamins and minerals and amino acids in our system, you do much better. You can sidestep a lot of health problems. So check out the body food mix that the folks at Apothecary Herbs have. It's loaded with vitamins, minerals, amino, and this is all plant-based, so the chemistry's there, and it's from God. So it's not individual, isolated things they kind of mix together. You know, like, here's a little vitamin C, here's a little vitamin D. No, this is from plants, so everything God put in the plant is in there, and it's in his perfect balance. So you'll be amazed what you can do with whole food stuff. Just amazing. And it's a powder, so you just put it in juice, water, smoothie, and you're going to super infuse this nutrition right away because it's water soluble, doesn't really need digestion, and just bam, you feel it almost immediately. So check that out. It's called Body Foundation Food Mix. If you're on the website, thepowerherbs.com, click on the energy area. It's in under the energy form area. In the catalog, it's also under energy if you're looking in there. But you could do a lot with some very simple, basic nutritional elements that God's provided, and he gets the credit every day, all the time. Now, if you would like to contact Apothecary Herbs for a free catalog, that number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com. Take back the power. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician, if you dare, before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Till next time, I wish you all to be well.